Welcome to the Misfit Stars Podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I am Jamie Hill.
Oh, I forgot to mention, it's the Misfit Stars Podcast Tour Edition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and yeah. It's not only the Misfit Stars Podcast Tour Edition, it's the Misfit Stars Podcast Tour Edition Independence Day Extravaganza.
Oh, is that right?
Sure.
We're at a car dealership, so maybe that's why you got that in your mane.
It does sound like a car ad, doesn't it?
It does. So this is wild. We, 2 weeks ago, recorded a podcast outside the back of the Folsom Volkswagen service department.
I believe the term you're looking for is up the backside of.
No. Out back of the Folsom Volkswagen service department. We're back there today.
Yes, we are.
Along Highway 50, the problem that we had diagnosed a couple weeks ago is now being fixed, and here we are.
It's all very inexpensive. It's just a wobbly mirror. They just had to replace the mirror. The whole thing is costing us like $130. But like, they had to figure out what they needed. The first time we were here, they had the part 2 days later, but we were no longer here because we're on tour.
Right.
The first time we could come back.
So here we are. But this is great. We probably could have figured out a different location to record our podcast today, but I just really felt like nostalgic about the backside of the service department here at Folsom.
Same here.
Volkswagen.
I'm hoping to see my little lizard friend.
Oh, well, I hope you do too.
Thank you. We were alerted the other day that apparently it's a skink.
Oh, okay.
A little redheaded skink.
Great. Good to know. Yeah.
Our friend sent us a link about it. It was a skink link.
Oh my God.
No, it's true.
No.
So hey, we want to welcome our new listeners and we want to welcome our new supporters. We've had some of each this week,
which is just
wonderful. New listeners. New listeners are coming in right now, I think, because we're on tour and because we're telling people every day on tour about this podcast we're doing.
Thanks for being here.
What do you think, people?
New listeners.
Are you disappointed yet? We warned you. It's just us talking. So in all seriousness, people, thank you. Thanks for being interested in what we're up to. And new supporters, geez, thanks, y'all.
Totally.
You know, so here's the deal. This podcast is largely free to listen to, but we also have a supportive component to it. And really, it's just another little way for you to support what Shannon and I are up to. The podcast specifically, but also more broadly, just our sketchy schemes in general. The things we're doing in the world, you know. And if you want to take that opportunity to use this podcast to support us a little bit more, hey, cool, thank you. It's really easy to do. You just go to misfitstars.com/join. We made a little link, so it's super simple. It takes like a minute and a half, 2 minutes tops to sign up, and it's like $5 a month. So basically, the long and the short of it is, if you have $5 a month extra and you would like us to have that $5 a month to put toward making the world a better place, then first of all, thank you. Second of all, cool, we really appreciate it. Just go to misfitstars.com/join, and you too can become a supporting member.
And you get cool stuff too. Like one of the things that happens immediately is that all of the members' exclusive episodes of this podcast, of which every other one is one. Did I say that right?
Perfectly.
I did. Good.
It was grammatically perfect.
Thank you. So those will all be unlocked for you. Mm-hmm. You can go back into the very beginning of this podcast, way back in the end of 2018.
When we talked half as fast.
Yeah.
Now it's all zippy. Yeah. We were not sure.
But you can listen to all those members' exclusive episodes from history and going forward, mm-hmm. all of them. And this is a public episode today,
yep.
right? So anyone can listen to this entire one. But, you know, if you want to get into those locked episodes when you become a member, a supporting member, then you get to have them unlocked for you.
We always try to save some juicy bits
special
for our subscribers.
Our stars.
Because there should be a thanks, right? And that's one of the thanks.
Yes. And then also you will be invited to join our private online Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
just for the Misfit Stars members.
Yeah.
And we would love to have you there. And also, there's some levels where if you want like a sticker sheet or mm-hmm. a sweet t-shirt, mm-hmm. you can do that too.
The t-shirt is super sweet.
We had
one of our subscribers, Subscribers. Yeah, because it was Scott Schreiber.
Oh.
he posted something the other day, just a few days ago, about how this is my favorite t-shirt. It's soft. It fits me exactly right. It's got a great design that causes conversations.
I love it. T-shirts that cause conversations. That's the thing.
That's what's up. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much to our new supporters and to our new listeners. We are so glad that you're here.
Yes, we are.
Throughout this whole episode today, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we've observed and learned through the concerts and experiences we've had this last week on tour, all over California.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some juicy and deep topics this week, I think. We were kind of like outlining some of them before we started today.
It's because we meet juicy and deep people.
I know. So some of the stuff we're going to hit today, like we're going to talk about the pitfalls of making assumptions about people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. We've got some stuff to talk about regarding the tension between setting boundaries with someone who's being a boundary violator while also maintaining a posture of grace giving mm-hmm. toward them.
That's an interesting thing
to deal with. And then also there were a couple of blasts from my past.
Your past personal past
mm-hmm. that really brought about some meaningful reflection for me in a couple different ways. And I'm going to share those with you
a little bit later.
Yeah.
This can happen when you have 6 shows in 6 days.
Holy moly.
You know, it's not like we had like 2 shows and we're like just drawing from this like little shallow well. We had a lot of experiences this week.
We did. And to like put the icing on the top of all that is that 6 shows in 6 days happened and I got sick on day one.
Oh, yeah.
Those 6 days.
Like real sick too. Not like some sniffles, like fiery throat, everything plugged up, can't breathe, feverish in the car. It was wild.
It was tough times. Yeah, it was not just a tiny little cold. There were a couple days in there where I was definitely feverish. Mm-hmm. I had to go into like shutdown mode. You know, like all non-essential systems had to go. So if you are a person who has emailed me like a week ago and I haven't replied to you yet, this is why.
Yeah. To put it in California-centric terms, Shannon was in a brownout.
I had to conserve all my energy for showtime. And remarkably, my body showed up.
Yeah.
For showtime.
Just when you needed it.
Every night.
It was really remarkable to see people. Like, Shannon would just be like, kind of looking like she's on death's door and sort of acting like it too, you know, non-responsive in the car, half asleep on her feet. And like half an hour before people showed up for the show, all of a sudden she'd be like, I'm awake. Wait a minute. I'm here. What's going on?
It's like, I imagine this happens to like people who are parents all the time, right? Like they feel like they're half dead.
Yeah.
But then when you're needed for this essential thing that you've got to do, your body makes it so that you can show up for it.
Yeah,
you show up. I'm certainly not comparing doing concerts to raising a human. but you know, I think that there probably are things in our lives where like our bodies are like, okay, time to show up. Let's do this.
No option but.
Yeah. So, but we got through it. It's been a great week. So should we dive in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What did we get into this week, Shannon?
We got into Stockton first.
Hey, winning at life.
Stockton, California. It's my hometown. It's where I was born and raised.
It's the ancestral home of Shannon Curtis.
And so we got to go back there for a house concert with this family that we have done a number of house concerts with now.
Like 5 or 6.
I've lost track. It's been so many.
Yeah.
I could probably figure out exactly how many.
Maybe 5, because I think that the oldest kid in the family, Brogan, who's now a senior in high school, was saying that we started in 8th grade, so that'd be 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. And he would know.
People his age know because that's like most of their life.
It is. It's a significant time in one's life. So, yeah, you know, we've been going back to this place and, you know, like... I've mentioned recently on a Facebook post that like the reason that we do this whole thing, mm-hmm. like the point of it all is, I mean, we love music, there's that, but the point of it is the people, you know? And this is one of those scenarios where like I've just been so grateful to get to know this family over all of these years. And this year, this particular family is going through a lot of changes, right? Like they're facing some challenges they haven't faced before. And they knew that these changes were coming mm-hmm. before they invited us to come do the house concert this year. And I just, first of all, feel super honored by the notion that these folks would continue to invite us to come into their lives when it's not the shiny, happy, you know, easy peasy time of their life.
No,
but
that
they're going
all.
Through some really, you know, challenging things right now that we still get to be invited into their lives. That's pretty darn cool.
It's really darn cool.
It's cool.
It's cool for 2 reasons. One, because like if there were ever to be a time when they could be like, you know what, we really just need a year not to do this year, we would get it.
And that's legit. Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're going to do it. And what that says to me is that like this thing that we have developed with them means enough to them in their life that it's one of the things that they view not as a time suck or a burden, but rather as an uplift.
Right.
Which is so cool. And also then that they would just sort of invite you and me in this really honest and frank way into like where they're at and like make us sort of a part of this transitional time in their life.
Yeah, totally.
That's huge to me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's a real honor to be invited into people's lives in general. And when people also then invite us into the parts that are not easy peasy, feels really...
Yeah.
Just it's sacred.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of where the good stuff happens. Really. That's where real connection happens. Yeah. Is when we invite each other into the harder parts, the tougher parts, the darker parts.
Yeah, it's really true. And it's funny, like, you would think, thinking about what Shannon and I do, that, like, the apex situation for it is when we show up in a bright, shiny, happy, well-to-do community, and everyone's doing well, and all conversations are good. And, you know, the more we do it, the more I'm convinced, that, at least for me personally, the stuff that excites me more mm-hmm. is when we're just getting to sort of see a snapshot of real life, community in transition. Like, because here's the thing, everyone is always in transition. It's just how honest you want to be about that.
That is such a good point. Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. We're always in transition. Yeah. And like, you know, when we're out on tour, like, we're bringing a show and we're wanting to bring a particular experience to the groups of people that we encounter. And, you know, all of our Facebook posts, the photos, we're smiling with friends we've made. And, you know, it looks very happy. But, you know, there are moments on tour. And actually, I'm sharing on this tour during the show about moments when we've been on tour, like last summer, a couple moments when things didn't feel shiny and happy, you know, and really that's, you know, I don't know. That's where real life happens. It's not all glossy all the time, you know? Okay. But one thing that happened in Stockton that was super fun and adorable.
Yeah.
They have a new kitten.
Oh my gosh. What's the kitten's name?
Posey. And she was just a blast. Your photo series of her helping you with making programs was so adorable.
Oh my gosh. People, go onto my Facebook. Just scroll back on my timeline until you see, like, the, I don't know, 25 sequential photos I took of Posey helping me
She's ridiculous.
Make programs. When I say make programs, we have programs for each concert. They're like just half, a vertical half of an 8.5 by 11 page printed on thick paper, you know. And there's a little white space at the top into which I stamp some artwork. We just made little custom stamps. It's sort of like the album artwork, kind of like the sunburst, you know, and we have orange ink pad, and I just take the stamp and I put it on the pad to get ink on it, and I stamp it in that white space, so every program has just a little crafty
touch,
a little pop of color, a little crafty touch. And I had some very extra special help at the Stockton house from my little new friend Posey.
By the end of the night, Posey had fallen asleep in a small bowl.
A cereal bowl. She was curled up in a cereal bowl, dead asleep. There's a photo of that at the end of the series, and OMG, people.
She's so ridiculously
little peanut.
Cute.
She has a little pink collar with a bell on it because she's such a little people cap that she was constantly apparently underfoot, and they were stepping on her and making her yelp, so they had to put a bell so they'd know where she was.
So
now
cute.
What you hear all of the time around their house is ding, 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 but you can't see it because she's tiny and she's hiding somewhere. Ding, 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 ding. So good.
Amazing.
They have so many pets that they just straight up forgot to announce to us that they have a new kitten. In most people's lives, this would be like a banner event, but they have 9 pets.
That's right.
They have 6 cats and 3 dogs. You know, and I think it's like having 9 kids where you just forget one. You know, like, yes, I have, you know, and you name 8 kids, but there's a 9th. He's like, Mom! Same kind of thing. So the way that we learned about this small animal is that it attacked Shannon's skirt.
Yes! She's so freaking cute.
Shannon was just like standing by the dining room table. And
what's this?
Near it. Yeah, and she was standing near a chair upon which apparently there happened to be a tiny animal.
Yes.
And the tiny animal was like, I could try to get all up in this person's skirt.
Yep. She was so fun.
What a treat for you.
Yeah, that was a really just a special night. Just love the deepening bonds over years. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you to anyone listening who has done that, gone on that journey with us. It means a lot.
You
it
know,
really
something really
lot.
Interesting to me. So, like, there's transition going on in this family. And something else that I found, just from having conversations with other people who showed up. So it also, like, it was a different group of people this year than it's been in the last, like, 4 previous years.
Yeah, some same people that
some
we've
same
seen.
Some same people.
And then also some new ones.
Yeah, it was a slightly smaller but much more focused group in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like a lot more people were just showing up with a certain kind of intensity and intentionality about it, wanting to get something out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, subsequently that night in conversations, I just learned that, like, a lot of people in that community seem like they're going through just some kind of transition.
Doesn't that happen, like, with people that we're connected with? Like, we kind of go through things together sometimes in waves. That tends to happen.
Yeah. There was, like, it's funny, and we noticed this in our travels, too, like, 2 years ago in the St. Louis area, there was, like, this sort of just kind of reshuffling. And a lot of people seemed like they also were going through transitions and also getting a lot healthier. Like a lot of people we knew were like telling us like, I've quit smoking. I have quit drinking soda. I have been going to the gym. And it's like just this, but everyone in these different communities we met, and it's like, it just seems like energy can move through, you know, a region of a country.
It really, well, and through social groups too, right? Like I think that when a person decides to make some positive change in their life, mm-hmm. as difficult as that might be and as against the grain as it might seem, mm-hmm. I think that we don't realize that those choices, those courageous choices actually do more impact than just change our own lives. I think that it ripples out.
Yeah.
You know, I think it really does. And I think it starts to motivate those that are close to us or on the periphery of our lives to notice and say like, hey, maybe I could make that change too. Or
another,
you know,
change is not the same.
Yeah,
but just,
yeah.
Yeah. People, seeing people doing positive stuff in their own lives and making positive change is enormously inspiring.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why being in a 12-step room is like so encouraging, right? You see other people like working it and you're like, yeah, I want that too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Same sort of principle. Yeah. Awesome. We had a new host the following night.
Yeah.
In Saratoga, California.
Saratoga, California.
Oh my gosh. I just absolutely adore our host, Jeannie. And her boyfriend, Don, is so lovely and sweet.
Yeah. Don made... So I'm from New England, right? I'm from Vermont. Don is also from New England. Don's a Mainer. And Maine has the distinction in New England of being the only state that's more taciturn and curmudgeonly than Vermont, culturally speaking. People just play their cards really close to the vest
it's
up there.
It's true.
You know? And it doesn't mean that they're cold. I mean, often quite the opposite. They're very warm, very caring people. But they're just suspicious by nature, you know, comes from, I think, you know, 400 years of living up in the hollows and being suspicious of outsiders.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Don is one of those people who his actions speak sometimes louder than his words, I think, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And his love language seems to be making things.
Mm-hmm.
And so specifically for this show, he made this unbelievably beautiful, like, it was like a wood superstructure, like sort of a 8 foot wide by 6 foot tall wood frame with these different lateral support pieces of
like
wood.
Like a lattice, like a wide lattice.
Yeah, yep, mm-hmm. totally. Upon which he had made smaller lattices with hanging attachments. So there's like a module, and on those were floral arrangements.
Yeah.
And so it was like a mod, and you could hang them on these cross braces sort of in any combination of positions, depending how you felt about it in the moment.
Right. It was a vertical flower arrangement wall.
Yeah.
Modular.
With lights. With little teeny tiny micro LED lights. Not the big ones, but
it
the little ones.
So gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
It was... And he made it specifically for the concert.
Yeah, but he made it well. It's not like some piece of crap, like temporary thing.
It was gorgeous.
He made like concrete, like he set concrete supports into the ground.
Yeah.
But he wanted it to be non-permanent. So he made the concrete supports in buckets with handles, which he then sunk below the surface in holes that he had dug.
I know. It's remarkable.
It was beautiful. It was complicated. I mean, it must have taken him 25 or 30 hours.
Stunning.
It was stunning.
It was stunning.
And yeah.
It felt like a huge gift when we showed up, and that was the backdrop that he'd created for our concert. Like, just above and beyond.
For people to get to look at, you know, first of all, you. Geez, what an honor.
Aww.
But then to get to look just past you to this beautiful, gently lit floral, backlit floral display. Holy cow.
So cool.
It was just a really neat setting for sure for the show.
Yeah, yeah. We met our host through another house concert a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that's how she came to know about what we do. And then we got to meet her whole circle of people, which was a really wide ranging circle of social circles for her, which is what I love. And hosts often say this, oh my gosh, the group here is from so many different corners of my life.
Yeah.
And I met a number of people with whom our host plays pickleball. And in other news, I had to learn what pickleball was. I had no idea what this sport was. It's like a hybrid of tennis and badminton and ping pong.
Yeah.
And it sounds
played
amazing.
Played with like a wiffle ball, so like you can hit the heck out of it and it doesn't hurt anybody or go too far away.
Right. But I met those people, and there were people from the neighborhood and just all different corners of their lives kind of coming to converging for the concert. And it was a wonderful night.
Lots of different types of people.
What was your experience that night? You shared something specific with me that was interesting.
It's funny. So, you know, and this is probably because I lived in San Francisco from like 1995 to 2008, you know, And in that period of time, San Francisco kind of got wrecked. And it kind of got wrecked by a certain type of person. And that certain type of person kind of all moved down to Saratoga.
Wrecked how, for those people who aren't familiar with the area?
Wrecked culturally by a bunch of people much more interested in money than culture.
Right, because it's the tech hub of the world, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people have been making gobs of money in the Silicon Valley. And
it's the new gold rush. It's the new San Francisco gold rush.
Right. And so, like, housing prices have gone through the roof. So people, you know, friends of ours who've lived there for a long, long, long time, like, have been forced to move out because housing prices are just... I mean, like, people are paying, like, $3,000 for a
studio
apartment.
And sharing it with a friend to cut down on costs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild.
It's really, really...
And so,
disparate, economically speaking.
Yeah, it really is. And so, a lot of that wealth is concentrated in Silicon Valley, and there are wealthier pockets of Silicon Valley, and Saratoga is one of them.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's sort of the bougie suburb of San Jose.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. You know, it's sort of like a master plan neighborhood from the 60s kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's got now mature trees, and it's just, it's beautiful and leafy and lovely and exclusive kind of.
And people who've lived there for a long, long time also probably have seen their home values just probably quintuple, you know, over the last 20 or so years.
At least, oh my gosh.
So they've earned wealth just from having purchased a home in a spot that, you know, that appreciated over time.
Yeah, and so what this all kind of distills down to is that it's very possible in that part of the country to have sort of a weird situation class-wise, you know?
Right.
To have it be just kind of bougie and wealthy and pretentious. Like, we've had shows in rooms full of Silicon Valley billionaires that were just depressing and soul-sucking and bad.
It has been hard sometimes.
It's been really hard.
One in particular, a number of years ago, where, you know, we intend to come and bring an experience for people to engage with their hearts about a topic that's meaningful, hopefully, you know. Yeah. And what we instead encountered at this particular night was that we both left there feeling like we had been treated like the help.
Yeah.
You know, which was not what we were after. We were after an experience of engaging with people, and people were not really interested in engaging. They were interested in being entertained and drinking a lot, you know?
You know, it really seems in communities like that, like something that can happen, and something I'm always a little bit apprehensive about the possibility of, is people, like, instead of being open to the idea of sharing vulnerably with other humans, drinking.
Right.
Like, that's the substitution that
they
make. Well,
I wonder what the pressure is like for someone who's got, you know, an enormous amount of wealth, right? I've not been in that position. So I'm making... some, you know, I'm guessing. Yeah. But I wonder if there is an increased pressure in some of those circles to appear as though you've got it all together.
Yeah, right.
And just because you have money doesn't mean that your life is put together.
No,
I mean,
not at
sometimes
all.
Quite the opposite, right? Like,
well, you're a target when you have that much money for predators and con men, and everyone's trying to get something from you, or at least that's got to be what the paranoid voice inside your head tells you, that people aren't your friend because they like you.
Right.
They're your friend because you have money, so how can you trust any friendship you have?
So I wonder if that's a real struggle. Like, I wonder if well, you know, this is funny. Like, what is it? There's a verse from the Bible that was...
Now we're quoting scripture.
So
Shannon.
We are. But this is one of those things I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this from my childhood. And it makes sense in this regard that it is easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than to get into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how this applies in this scenario. You know, if heaven is, you know, getting to a place in one's life where we're living in harmony with one another and with ourselves.
Yeah, right. Heaven's not the afterlife, people. Heaven and hell are right here on earth.
They certainly can be, yes. But if that's what heaven, you know, might be, then then I wonder if it's a lot more difficult to get to that place when you have a lot of attachments in your life like wealth.
You know? I wonder if like the people who wrote the Bible were really just trying to tell us stories about how things should be in here. The present yeah. moment here.
Yeah.
And people, because they were too freaked out about the idea of actually having to put these ideas into practice in their own lives, were like, no, these are about later.
Yeah. Well, and there are some people of faith who interpret the scripture that way, that the kingdom of heaven is here on earth. We're going to get deep into the religion here if we aren't careful.
Yeah. Well, but, pump the brakes.
Yeah, pump the brakes. But the whole point, we were talking about like the idea of wealth. And so Saratoga is a place where there is
that
a concentration
happen.
Of wealth.
Yeah.
And so what was your experience?
My experience was shockingly good. And, you know, it's funny. So whenever I walk into like an extra nice home in this sort of part of the country, I'm always a little bit suspicious and apprehensive, frankly. You know what I mean? Because I know the sorts of experiences that I have had in a lot of places like this in the past. Mm-hmm. And I understand the dynamic, right? Like it can be fraught and it can be really disconnective, you know, kind of the opposite of what we want to do, you know?
Right.
But, you know, it's funny. So, like, that's a prejudgment that I'm making, right? Like, that apprehension is me getting out ahead of the situation and future tripping about it and not giving it space to just kind of be what it is. And what it actually was a really, really pleasant time with a lot of people who, when I first saw them, I was like, this guy could be trouble. this old white guy's, you know, this guy's going to have his head up his ass. It's going to be a problem. And turns out that, you know, that particular older white guy was lovely, wonderful, super engaged, wanted to talk with me a lot afterwards and had thoughtful ideas and it was amazing, you know? And it's just a good reminder not to judge. Like, when we talk about don't judge, we're always talking, I think, implicitly in a certain way about, like, people who we might be able to sort of put beneath us in a way. Mm. Like, people poorer than us or people
who... In a disadvantaged situation.
People who might be disadvantaged for one reason or another, be it, like, socioeconomically or, like, color of their skin. Like, don't judge black people. Don't judge Asians. Whatever, right? Don't judge poor people. But, like... Don't judge rich people, too. Right?
Right.
Like, you can't have it both ways.
Right. Yeah. If we're going to be open and inclusive,
yeah,
that includes everybody.
That includes people, like, above us, too. Like, we also have to be, like, we can't be classist upwards by default.
Yeah. What is above and below, though, really? That's another question for another time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So really what you're saying is... You learn some things about yourself.
Yeah, good kind of. You sort of sounded like June Steckler when you said that.
Oh, did I?
Our buddy June Steckler, amazing artist, people. If you don't know about her, just look her up. Steckler. Fantastic, fine artist, painter. But she has a wry sense of humor and sometimes delivers very dry quips in that sort of lower kind of throaty voice that Shannon just used.
If I can be more like June in any way, at any time, sign me up.
Life goals.
I love her.
Life goals.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, like it's a good lesson. And you know, I've heard you talk for years about how sad it's been for you to see the transformation of San Francisco into something less gritty and arty and more money driven and soulless.
Yeah.
And I hear the pain in that from you, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a part of your history, of your past, that you feel like you've like sort of lost, you know, and you've grieved that.
Yeah.
And that's real. And I've also heard you lament and blame the rich folks who've come in to ruin it all.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard the anger in you.
Which
you
is, not inaccurate. It.
Exactly. But it's refreshing to hear you talk about this idea with the idea that, like, you know, when we make sweeping generalizations about any class of people or category of people, the fault in making assumptions about whole groups.
Look at me expressing compassion for these rat bastards.
Oh, that's rude.
Just kidding. I just said that to be funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm earnest and I took it for realsies. Okay.
Right on.
It was a wonderful night.
Yeah,
and I think that there's a chance we get to go back next year.
Yep,
they were
for
talking
sure.
about hosting again, and I really look forward to
you
it.
You can find your people anywhere, people.
That's right.
And so after that show, we did an evening drive because it was only like an hour and a half, and we had to drive from the south of San Francisco to the north of San Francisco, which is an endeavor much better undertaken after midnight.
Yeah. So yeah. We did it at night and not in the middle of the day when traffic is horrible.
And we drove directly through the city, which was wonderful.
It was great.
I came within eye shot of two different places that I had lived.
Awesome.
As we drove up Fell and then turned north onto Divisadero, I could look back over to the left to the corner of Oak and Divisadero, where my very first San Francisco apartment was in 1995.
Yeah.
Sarah Thomas, formerly Sarah Baker at that time, and I moved into a one-bedroom, massive, brand newly remodeled one bedroom, all new appliances, all new carpet, all new paint, beautiful crown moldings, 14-foot ceilings, for $630 a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, wait. It was $800 a month. $630 was the previous Boston apartment, but stop it.
Still.
That place right now, for sure, has three beds in it and is going for $5,000.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh, totally.
Wild
it's
behavior.
It's changed a lot.
And then I got to see the place on Grove Street where I live, which was fun. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of drove over the hill and we saw Coit Tower. We saw all the pretty San Francisco stuff at night, and it was nice.
It was really nice.
Drove over the Golden Gate Bridge and
posted
the fog.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We posted up so that we could be close to our Healdsburg show the following day.
Yeah.
And we've been to Healdsburg before.
Yep.
A few years ago when I opened a concert for Sean Colvin at a theater there.
Yeah, we played in this sort of rundown but awesome old theater there.
Yeah, it was.
Cool.
But this is our first house concert in Healdsburg, and it was not actually in a house. It was in a barn warehouse type place. It was cool venue.
Not like an industrial warehouse, like the kind of warehouse that one might have on a farm.
Yeah, it felt like a barn.
Yeah.
It felt like a barn with a concrete floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no animals.
And no animals.
Yeah.
Except for the spiders. Holy moly, there were some big spiders.
Yeah, there were. Apparently, they have some jumping spiders out there.
That's not cool.
That's inappropriate.
It's totally inappropriate.
Note to the spider community. Maybe no jumping. Come on.
Totally. And, you know, Healdsburg was one of these shows that, you know, it was a first-time host. Someone that I knew from a long time ago, like someone that I met when I was first starting to do my music back in Sacramento back in the day. She was dating and then later married a guy that was sort of in a friend group that I ran with for a little while that was really supportive of me as I was getting going in my solo music career.
Yeah.
And so I knew her kind of really tangentially at that time. You know, we didn't, you know, I thought about this later. Like I think I was in a place in my life when I still wasn't quite sure who I was.
For
and
sure.
When you don't know who you are, it's hard to let other people know who you are.
Yeah,
you know,
right? So sort of a moving target.
Yeah, you know, like it's hard to be known.
Yeah.
You know, in a real way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's after hearing some of her story that she shared with us the other night post-concert, it's possible that she was in a similar place then too. You know, that like, you know, that we didn't really know one another, but just sort of like tangentially in this friend group back then. But she invited us to come. And it was one of those nights where, you know, we had a lovely time meeting people, you know, at the concert. But like, I feel like the reason for us being there was the post-concert hang with Bryn and her boyfriend, and that was just awesome. Just long conversation, really, actually getting to know one another.
Yeah. It was long. I mean, we talked for like 2 hours or something after everyone had left.
It was pretty awesome.
Just us. And her boyfriend, Lance.
And the spiders.
And the huge spiders, which Lance periodically had to get up and kill.
Yes. But, you know, specifically in that conversation, and I won't go into, like, details, but, you know, Bryn's going through some working through stuff in her life right now. Again, sharing with us that stuff, the not shiny stuff, was so meaningful that, you know, she was trustful of us with that information and considered the concert experience to be part of sort of, like, part of her process and her healing, you know, which was really just an honor to be a part of that. But one of the things that I was really struck with that I just, that I took away from our conversation with her, she has an ability or has gotten to a place, maybe it's probably because of the work she's done in her life, right? This is probably the result of actual like hard work to get to this place. But she has the ability to talk about close people in her life who have been people who have caused her a great deal of pain over the course of her lifetime, right?
Yeah.
But people that she cares about, she had the ability to talk about them with us with a great deal of frankness. You know, not shining it up in any way. Real, like, brutal honesty
about
her relationship with these people. But at the very same time, not a hint of being unkind.
It's really true.
To them.
It's really true.
And I just
there
thought,
was no throwing anyone under the bus, like in their absence.
No, I feel like that's a tug of war to do that. To be able to pull that kind of like observation of your life and your relationships off is a tug of war. That like being honest and also thoroughly kind and loving at the same time is. It's remarkable.
Having compassion for people who are objectively and actively making your life worse is a tremendous feat.
Yeah, it really is. That's some serious, like, spiritual jujitsu.
Yeah, well, seriously. I mean, that's kind of the goal. I get, as you know, in my email every day and have for like a decade plus now, just like a little Zen Buddhist meditation kind of deal. Just something to think about, a little something or other. And a topic that recurs frequently is the idea of circles of compassion, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, and the exercise kind of goes like this. Like, first, think about the people you love the most dearly, you know, and think compassionate things about them. And then widen the circle to think about people who you know, but not that well, but you like. And, you know, feel think compassionate things about them. And then widen the circle again to think about people who you know, but maybe don't like so much, and feel compassionate things about them. Mm. And then widen the circle to, I mean, keep widening until you get all the way out to the objectively worst people in the world, the Pol Pots and the Hitlers. And feel compassion toward them, right?
Mm.
And like at some point in that exercise, like it's really easy to feel compassionate and to people who to whom you feel warmly,
sure.
You know? But like the idea being that like feeling compassion ultimately is an act of self-love. It's not about the person that you're thinking about. It's
right.
about what's going on inside of you.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there's a saying in AA that resentment is like a corrosive acid that eats away at the vessel that contains it.
Yeah.
And this is that. This is the Buddhist way of saying that,
totally.
Right? But like to put that, like for the rubber to meet the road in that practice is enormously difficult. Like speaking compassionately and kindly about people who are ruining your life is like, that's like some people aren't strong enough for that.
Well, I think another thing to say though about that is that I think that we are strong enough.
Yeah, I said
to
that
do
wrong.
That
yeah.
If we do the work to get there. But but what you described in that ever widening circle, that's not something you do in 2 minutes. It's not something you do over the 30 seconds it took you to describe the widening circles, right? Like that's something you practice over time and sit with what that feels like, you know, and to do the own work in your own life where you've unburdened yourselves of the things that you don't feel you deserve compassion for, right? Like it's oftentimes the ways in which we express hate toward others are the things about ourselves that we haven't dealt with, that we loathe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's it.
So I think that
we dislike in others what we dislike most in ourselves.
Right. So like, I think that it's possible. We do have the ability to do that. I don't think that some people, I mean, okay, if you're a sociopath, you probably don't actually have the functional capability. Yeah. If you've got that sort of...
Chemically, neurologically speaking, that may not be a possibility for you. So sociopaths listening, sorry.
And even then, I wonder if there are ways in which like psychotherapists can help those folks. I don't know.
I wonder.
I wonder if there is. But the point is that like for most people with brains that operate the way that most human brains do... That doing the work does allow you to have the strength to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's work.
It is. Well, it is, totally. You don't get the good stuff easy.
That's right. Man, okay, this is so good so far.
Yeah.
But we've got three more shows to talk about this week.
What do you think? Should we take a little break?
We'll take a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back, and we will get into Davis, Rockland, and Auburn.
Oh, my gosh,
working
so exciting.
Our way up the hill.
Love it. Cool.
I love it.
All right, back in a sec.
See you soon. So good at that.
Thank you. You know, I've been practicing. I forgot to mention earlier, because we're kind of going off like the mobile phone script sitting out back of Folsom Lake VW here, looking at cars whizzing by on Highway 50.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say, but this is episode, what, 34? So I've had 33 practices of saying, and we're back.
Is it 34?
This could be the 34th. I think last one was the 32nd. Or 33rd? I don't know.
We've sort of like dropped off our numbering. We need to get back on it.
Well, I mean, the episodes are numbered in the like actual file of the thing.
Okay, well, we'll double check our work later.
Yeah, I haven't been saying the episode number at the top of the episode, but I'll get back to it, people. We're just temporarily dropping off. This is just an interregnum. It's not an ending.
Thanks for the $10 word.
Yeah, you like that?
Well, you're doing good, and we're back. And yes, we are indeed back, and we are... gratefully, on a day off, our first day off in a week.
Yeah.
A day off in which really that means we do a bunch of errands.
But no
that's
singing.
Okay. But no singing for me tonight.
I don't have to unpack the gear. I don't have to set it up. I don't have to tear it back
down. Hallelujah.
We might eat a meal that is not sold by a nationwide corporation.
Yes, that would be nice.
I would be into that.
But this is the first day off after a run of 6 shows in 6 days.
Yep.
And we had a wonderful week, wide range of experiences and so many amazing people that just like, they gave us all sorts of good stuff to talk about. And so we're halfway through that. Yep. And we've got great stuff in the second half. I'm very excited.
OMG, so good. So let's dive right in. Okay. So after Healdsburg, we took a beautiful drive kind of due east, cutting off through the back hills and wine fields.
Between Santa Rosa
and
the
Davis.
The Central Valley. Yeah. It was gorgeous.
It was wonderful. I hadn't been on the entirety of Highway 128 before, at least the part of it that we were on. Mm-hmm. And gosh, how beautiful. It was a tiring drive because it's the kind of drive where you constantly have to brake and go around a 30-mile-an-hour hairpin turn.
You can't phone it in.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's no cruise control.
Yeah.
But man, it was beautiful. It was a perfect day. Just a few puffy clouds. We drove by reservoirs. People were doing outdoor stuff. It wasn't too hot. It was really just quintessential Northern California summer day.
I was feverish in the passenger seat and enjoying some of that occasionally.
Yeah. Shannon was drifting in and out of consciousness in the right seat. It was very terrifying.
It's so brutal. Oh, my gosh.
But also, she couldn't, like, really nap because of the curvy. She kind of gets a little carsick. So she was sort of feverish and also lightly carsick.
It was a good time.
It was really the worst of all worlds.
But it was a beautiful drive. I can still acknowledge that. And we got to Davis, which is a place that I spent a lot of time earlier in my life. My sister went to college there, and I... all throughout college dated somebody who went to UC Davis. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't been back to Davis in a long time. Oh, and also I forgot to mention the band that I was in for 8 years prior to doing my solo stuff, Paradigm. We played at the G Street Pub in Davis.
All of the time.
That was like our home venue, even though we weren't from Davis. We played there. We played at the G Street Pub more frequently than any other venue ever, anywhere.
Yeah.
And so we got to go back and drive by there and see the old haunt, and we ate at Woodstock's Pizza across the street.
Which was great. Delicious slices. Yeah. Thank you, Woodstock's.
It was really fun to be back in an old haunt.
It was.
Like that.
And it's always great to be in a college town, too. The energy is cool.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And this was a show hosted, again, by first-time house concert hosts. And actually, when you asked the question at the beginning of the show, raise your hand if this is your first ever house concert, like being at one, our hosts raised their hand, which was so much fun.
What a leap of faith.
I know. I love it. And these are some people that I know from really like another lifetime ago. This was, I've known them for, I guess it's probably been, you know, close to 20 years.
Sure.
Because I'm getting that old. and I used to sing with Mark occasionally. And it was really, really awesome to get to reconnect with Geneva and Mark.
Yeah.
They,
total side note, but Geneva, what a great first name.
Yes, totally.
What if we named our daughter after something in Switzerland?
Is that why?
I don't know.
That's Geneva's a name, a women's name, as much as it is a city.
Well, I mean, but it was a city first.
Was it?
It wasn't a woman's name first.
How do you know?
Well, maybe it was.
You're making assumptions.
That's true. Maybe the first person to stumble upon that part of Switzerland, other than native population that lived there previously.
No, maybe the city was named after a person.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Maybe they're like, I have a buddy named Geneva.
Exactly.
I'm going to name this area by the lake for her.
Yeah.
Probably, that's it.
Totally.
Yeah, we don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to name the country that this new city I've named after my other friend, Switzerland.
Oh, stop it. Okay. Anyway, Mark and Geneva are amazing. And so Geneva followed some curiosity she had just last fall.
Yeah.
She and her mom and her sister apparently were having a conversation about blasts from the past. Mm-hmm. And she, for whatever reason, thought of me and thought, I might I might be able to find her on Facebook. And she did. And I remember getting her friend request. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a blast from my past. This is so awesome. And so we've developed this like sweet, like Facebook friendship over the last many months. And then she and Mark volunteered to host a house concert. And it was so wonderful. It's just, it feels really, just like a great act of generosity to be invited back into the life of somebody who, with whom I was connected in like another version of my life all those years ago. Mm-hmm. I've changed a lot. A lot of things in my life have changed since I knew them. And it just feels, I don't know, what's the word? Restorative.
It's like the closing of a circle.
Yeah. It was really lovely.
The closing a loop, maybe. A loop is a circle, but maybe that's a better metaphor.
I'm sure they've changed a lot since I knew them back then too, you know, and we're getting to start to know like the current version of them and their family. Yeah. Their daughters, by the way, are so incredible.
Oh, they're rad.
Are really lovely.
Yeah.
So that was just, you know, I just, personally speaking, just feels like a real gift to be brought back in to somebody's life with whom I was connected.
Total side note about the daughters, but like one daughter baked amazingly delicious chocolate cookies, and that was a gift. The other daughter, with her own $10 bill, purchased a download card of the new album.
What?
Oh yeah, they both sat through. They both like were there for the entire concert. Loved it.
It was so fun.
I love
to share that with
them.
When
we can connect with kids, it's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah,
they're wonderful little growing humans.
Yeah.
So we had some great conversations with people after that show too.
Yes, we did, and before the show.
And before, that's true.
It was just a very vibrant group.
It was so great.
It was the kind of group where, like, when I was going to pass out programs, I was like, I hope we have enough programs. Because it seemed like a bigger group than it was, because it was so vibrant.
It was so
and
rich.
And everyone was mingling and talking and moving around.
So great.
Yeah,
that's
it was
wonderful.
Really cool.
One of the conversations I had with one of their neighbors who came, they got a babysitter and walked two doors down to Mark and Geneva's house. The woman came in up to me after the show and with a very intentional comment that she wanted to make. And it was just a really lovely sentiment. So she, you know, those of you who have not yet seen a show, you won't know that I tell a story about driving into the sunset, but you've probably heard the song Glorious, which is all about stepping on the gas and driving toward the sunset, right? But this woman came up to me with a comment sort of related to that and with a twist. She was sharing with me about this TED Talk that she saw recently about a guy who had a recurring nightmare about trying to catch the setting sun and the darkness always overtaking him. Mm-hmm. And for him, it was a nightmarish experience.
Yeah.
And so somebody in his life had recommended to him, and after him sharing this, you know, what if, and he has, apparently this person has like a lot of trauma in his background, a lot of darkness trying to catch up with him, you know, as that sun's setting in front of him. And so this person suggested, what if you were to turn around and drive straight into that darkness, at the other end of which you will see the light on the horizon as the sun rises.
Ah.
And I just thought that was a really lovely twist on that imagery of light on the horizon. And yeah, that sometimes it's like you gotta, you know, intentionally step on the gas into the darkness in order to get to the other side of it.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Super cool.
Yeah. It was neat. Yeah.
And we made what might end up being a dear friend.
Oh, absolutely.
At this show, our new buddy Ashton.
Yeah.
Ashton is rad. Ashton's at that interesting place in her life. She's like late 20s.
I did ask her age because we talked specifically about this. Yeah.
Yep. And she herself is an artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly, just generally, broadly, an artistic soul.
And engaged
on the path,
in the world.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just, like, super smart, super engaged, super intellectual, super interested in people and ideas and things, and just very engaged and engaging, and just a joy to talk with. But yeah, so she specifically, she's a singer, and I haven't heard a note she's sung yet. I've only heard her talk, but just judging by her speaking voice, she's gotta be a cool singer. Like, her speaking voice is just rad, kind of just like low, husky, a little rasp to it. It's, yeah, I can only imagine that
the singing version
of that voice is good too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. So, like, you know, she had ideas and she had questions. She had a lot of questions.
I love that.
Well, totally.
That's a good way to approach life.
Right. Seriously.
Right.
Well, because, you know, for someone like her, so she doesn't play an instrument really. She writes stuff. She writes melodies and vocal lines, and then she works with other people to figure out what the music that goes with that, you know, looks like for her. So she's kind of a front person, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, it's interesting. So one of the first things she asked me, she asked a little bit about us and found out that we had lived in LA, and she's like, "Oh, that's so interesting, because I've been thinking about maybe moving down there, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And she proceeded to explain, like, she had the idea that maybe, and so many people think this, that you would move down to LA to try to, you know, play some good places and get discovered.
Right.
Quote,
right.
Unquote, get discovered.
Yeah.
You know, such a common idea, such a common misconception, I think is the appropriate noun to put on
right.
that, right? Because,
yeah.
like, that happens for music about as often as winning the lottery wins for financial well-being.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Like, getting discovered is the lottery version of a music career.
But it is so deeply ingrained in how our culture perceives
yeah.
success in arts, in the arts.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's just, I mean, I remember from a young age, when I was a kid, we would watch Star Search.
Of course.
Right?
You'd Ed go, McMahon, shout out to
you,
Ed McMahon.
You go on the TV show and you do your dancing or your singing or your mm-hmm. modeling or
yeah.
whatever, and you get discovered, and 1, 2, 3, you're famous and
yeah.
and quote and therefore quote unquote successful.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a number of things wrong with that.
And the current paradigm, you know, is I mean, it's Star Search all over again with yeah. things like The Voice and America's Got Talent
yep.
and all that kind of stuff. And the whole, you know, label paradigm of, you know, like, well, you got to be discovered by a label to get signed.
Yeah.
And that's how you become a successful artist.
Yeah. Someone else has to release your music. There's no possible way you can release your own music to people.
It's so deeply ingrained.
All of these ideas share one thing in common, which is that you're giving your agency to somebody else. You're letting go of your own power.
Yeah.
You're saying, I don't have inside me what it takes or what I need to be successful at doing what I do,
mm-hmm.
which is not true.
I wonder how many other areas of like pursuit, like other areas that people pursue where this is also true. You know, we talk about it a lot with art making, specifically music making mm-hmm. or acting mm-hmm. or that kind of, but I wonder if there are other ways in which this idea about giving away your power, giving away your agency, as opposed to figuring out how to make something happen on your own terms.
You know, it's funny.
You know what I mean?
So I follow this guy on Twitter. His name is T. Greg Doucette.
All right.
D-O-U-C-E-T-T-E. He's from North Carolina. I don't know him personally.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lawyer. And he's just really interesting. He's really generous with his time. Like, he does all these law splainers. Like,
sweet.
All this, like, you know, here's contract law 101. And it's always apropos of something in the news, but he uses it as a teachable moment
cool.
to be like, here's how this works. So he's really interesting to follow.
Yeah.
And he's lightly salty, but very good-natured, good-humored guy. He just seems like a lovely person. So
agency, giving
yeah.
away your power.
Right, giving away your power.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I saw a kayak out on the river over here, and I was like, what? Well, that looks beautiful. I have a day off, too. Sorry to be distracted, people. Not going to edit this. Moving on. So, you know, it's funny. So here's the thing. With lawyers, like, usually the path, right, quote-unquote,
right.
like, when you're in a band, quote-unquote, the path is to play clubs and get discovered, get signed, whatever. That's the quote-unquote path that's faulty and not true.
The mythical path.
The mythical path. The mythical path for lawyers, which I think works out much more of the time, is that you do law school, you do an internship, and then you go to work for a big firm.
Right.
And then maybe eventually you get to have your own piece of something, or mm-hmm. maybe you don't, and who knows. But he has only ever had his own firm. Like, right out of law school, he just started his own practice.
Wow.
And somebody actually asked him on Twitter the other day, like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
And it was very much the lawyer version of what you and I do. He figured out how to have enough different streams, like, not just focus in one area where you only do one thing and you either make it or you don't in that one area.
Yeah.
He's like, I learned how to do a little bit of contract law and a little bit of estate and a little bit of probate and a little bit of this, just enough so that I could have money coming in to support myself while I built the main criminal defense thing that I'm into.
Interesting.
Right? Same exact thing, though. It's like, if you decide in your life, if you recognize that you do have all the tools and all the power that you need, if you just understand that you can be self-reliant and that you are everything you need, then you can figure out how to make it work.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Or and sometimes, you know, build community around yourself in order to support one another as you do that. Like doing things by oneself is so like American West,
yep.
Right? But like but also community is vital.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I mean, he was talking about the same thing that you and I talk about with people all of the time, which is it's not about somebody else making you or breaking you. It's about you aggregating a community around what you do, a community of people who can spiritually and financially support what you are doing.
Right.
You know?
And also be the person who's spiritually and financially supporting other people on that path.
That's right.
Right? Like it's a two-way street.
Yeah, it's a continuum more than a two-way street.
Yeah. That, you know? Absolutely.
It's all moving in the same direction, but there's someone behind you. Like you've got to be helped up by ideas from other people, and then you reciprocally have to also help other people up.
So interesting, yeah. So I had a great conversation with our new friend Ashton too, and there was a moment in our conversation where like something that she said just like hit me like a dagger. She was talking about, you know, kind of this, how she's trying to kind of make her way as figuring out what, you know, what art making looks, what music making looks like for her. And she said something, she's like, but also I'm looking at, you know, the popular artists that are getting, you know, all the attention and stuff, you know, and they're like 17 years old. And she's like, and I'm 27 and I feel like maybe I'm past my prime. And I was just like, I felt those words in a physical way inside me because I have been the 27-year-old. I've been the 24-year-old who felt like she was too old.
Washed up at 24, dried up.
Doing music. Because at 24, I was just starting to play college campus shows with my band. And I was at least 3 years older than all the college students. And I felt like, oh gosh, I'm older than these kids.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear from me. Like, and a lot of it is self-doubt, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of it is my own voices talking to myself in my head, right? You know, but also, you know, there's a real pressure in our culture about like this idolization of youth.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard her say I'm 27, I mean, like I have been there and it was a devastating thought, and the pressure I felt as a 27-year-old to, you know, maintain a body that looked like it could pass for more like 21 or, you know what I mean? Or my looks, like continually trying to pass for somebody younger than I actually was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tremendous amount of pressure. It's not healthy or good. And frankly, that's what our culture, you know, encourages in a really horrible, awful, bad way.
We fetishize youth in a really unhealthy way.
We really do. And so, you know, when I looked at her after she said that, and I'm like, can I just tell you something right now? I'm 44. And I feel like I've just hit my stride in the last handful of years.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, and so I'm like, for, you know, so whether you can believe me right now or not, as I'm telling you these words, like, 27 is not over the hill. In fact, there's so much more ahead of you, you know? And the fact of the matter is that, like, there are people older than me who have truth to speak and share with the world that we need desperately.
Yeah.
You know, that if they've got art to make, music to write, you know, books to write, you know, well, whatever it is that is this thing they've got to share. Well, if there's this burning need to share that truth inside any person of any age, that's exactly what the world needs from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, adults have disposable income. I'll just throw that out there.
when you're playing for people of, a lot of adults do have, yes, it's so true. It's so true. But, you know, I want to encourage our friend Ashton and anybody else out there, no matter what your age is, if you feel like you're too young. I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We spend so much time thinking we're too young for stuff, and then overnight, the switch flips, and we start thinking we're too old for stuff.
What if you were just always the right age to be where you're at?
Exactly, right? And that is sometimes easier said than done. Again, I have been the person who has struggled with that, you know? But... there's so much beauty that comes with aging and with getting to know yourself better as we age. Like, yeah. I wouldn't trade that for my tight thighs from my 20s. I really wouldn't,
yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
Like, if the choice were there. Yeah, it just, yeah, I just want anyone who's listening to this, like, your age, like, let's break that frame. Mm-hmm. Let's break the frame that the culture that we live in tells us that you have to be a certain age to do certain kinds of pursuits. No.
Yeah.
Just do the thing that's on your heart.
Just do
it. Because that's what the world needs from you.
And then figure out who to connect it with.
Yeah.
Someone wants to hear what you have to say. As long as you're saying it from a pure place and, like, for a good reason.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. Like, the moment that an artist figures out how to most authentically present themselves and their ideas to the world, no matter their age, the moment they figure out that authenticity piece, mm-hmm. I believe, is the moment that people start connecting.
Yep.
Like, it happened for me.
Yep.
When I stopped trying to be things that I thought people needed for me to be.
Yeah.
And actually took the scary step of just being more me.
Yeah.
That was the moment that people started to connect in a deeper way that meant something.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go, people.
Yeah,
all right,
really
so
good.
We're moving on next to Rocklin, California.
Oh, yeah, Rocklin.
That was hosted by a Misfit Star.
Hi, Star.
Hi, Scott.
And his wife, Becky.
Yeah.
They are so awesome.
Yeah. So we've gotten to know Scott better for the simple reason that Becky's not on Facebook.
It's true.
It's really true.
I know.
You know, like, we really, like, we see our people on Facebook, like, the ones who want mm-hmm. to engage a lot. We see them a lot.
It's true, but it was so great to get to spend some face-to-face time with Becky.
Becky's dope.
She's so funny.
Yes, she is.
And wonderful.
Yeah. And smart and cool and just, it's great.
Well, another reason that we've gotten to know Scott a lot, and again, it's the Facebook presence really helps because we do see each other, you know, a lot.
Well, and can interact.
But one of the reasons why we've gotten to know Scott is because Scott has made himself so available to get to know.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say that, like, out of all the people that I have met over the last, like, year, mm-hmm. you know, we met him last October at a house concert.
Yep.
In the time since then, he is somebody who, like, really has, like, set a standard, an example for me about how to intentionally dive into life and engage with other humans. Like, I see him doing it all the time, not just with us, but I see him doing it with other people where I can kind of sit on the sidelines and see conversations he's having with other folks and really just going there, you know, mm-hmm. having meaningful interactions with folks. I just mm-hmm. admire that so much.
Yeah.
And I imagine he's getting a lot out of life.
Yeah.
As a result of approaching it that way.
Well, when you reach out and engage all the time, you have a rich and varied life.
Yeah.
That's just how that works. That's what you're making happen.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's just neat. Awesome.
And you know what's really cool about it is that Scott engages. Sorry to just be talking about you, Scott.
are you blushing?
But I don't think you'd mind.
Are you blushing yet, Scott?
Scott engages in a way that I would characterize as vulnerable, because he's not afraid just to put himself out there.
Yeah.
And just to ask questions and talk about stuff. And that's great. Like, he never seems to approach things with the idea that he has it all figured out.
Oh, no. He leads with curiosity.
Yeah.
I love that about him.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yes. So neat.
Yeah.
So neat. Can we gush some more, Scott and Becky? We had such a great time
with
you.
Well, they very clearly, like, have an intentional vibe that they, like, cultivate with each other as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Becky's work, she does energy work.
Does she really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a part of the conversation. I've been trying not to lead my conversations with people at these concerts with, what do you do?
No, I've been asking people. I've been taking a total cue from Terry Gross, and I've been asking, tell me about yourself.
That's great.
Tell me something about yourself.
I love that.
Because I feel like something, in my experience, having tried it both ways, like, tell me about yourself. People kind of get this, like, deer in the headlights look. Like, that's a lot. But if you say, tell me something about yourself, like, you can pick a thing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Know? I love it. Yeah, so I've been not really having necessarily conversations with people about what they do for work.
Right. Yeah, because maybe that's not the thing that's the most important for them to tell you about.
So I did not know that Becky does energy work.
Yeah, which is rad.
That is rad.
Yeah, like, she has a table in her office, it looks like, which is in their home, which looks like a massage table, but it's not. It's an energy healing table.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Can we come back and learn more, Becky?
Yeah, right?
I need to hear more about this.
Can I get a spiritual alignment?
That's amazing. Seriously,
right?
I love that.
Yeah.
So they do have, like, spiritual people in their lives as a result, I think, of who they are and how they engage with the world. I had a really interesting experience with one of their guests, which is, is an experience. It was with this particular woman this night, but it's happened to me a lot over the course of doing house concerts. Mm-hmm. I had this experience where somebody who clearly connected with what we had to offer on yep. a spiritual level, mm-hmm. and then came up to me at some point after the show to try to convince me that what I really needed in my life was her form of spirituality.
Yeah.
Which is just always a really interesting position to be in.
Shannon got witnessed to at the show, people.
I was evangelized.
Yep.
And, you know, it's an awkward situation to be put into. But I will say that I'm actually grateful also for the opportunity to have had that experience, and because it's an area of it's an area that I want to grow in terms of how I navigate those kinds of interactions, you know?
It's a rapids that you want to learn how to kayak through better.
Yeah. So speaking of the kayak, you saw.
I'm just doing kayak metaphors yeah. now. Looks real nice out there, people.
It does. But and here's the thing, like, you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about in terms of like our 12-step recovery is like you stay on your own side of the street,
yeah.
you know, in any relationship, and the other side of the street is the other person's responsibility.
That's right.
You stay firmly on your own. You let them take care of their side, right?
Keep your own house in order. That's
yeah.
it. That's
and,
it.
You know, this was a case in which I was experiencing this woman coming onto my side of the street a little bit. You know,
what was that accent?
It was, I don't know. It was just a funny accent.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you. So just like, I just, you know,
She was not just on your side of the street. She was in your house. She was in your backyard.
It's true.
She was getting into your garage and going to your tools.
It's true. You know, and here's the thing, like, I understand we come into people's homes and their friends gather, and I'm sharing a lot about myself and my spiritual journey in some ways.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
there's a spiritual component to your show, for sure.
Absolutely. It's really important to me, especially because I feel very sensitive to this particular, like, you know, boundary setting kind of, you know, thing, that I'm openly sharing my own experience and leaving that in an open hand for people to pick up or not.
Yeah.
It's their choice.
You just leave it there.
Right? So this was not, you know, the way she approached me was not that.
And
And if it had been that, if it had been like, I heard you say this and that resonated with me. And also, can I share with you my experience? And here it is. Even if it's different than my experience, and you know, I can receive that and be like, thank you for sharing that part of you with me. I really appreciate that. But when it crosses the line into, this has been my experience, and I really felt like I needed to share this with you because I think you could use it too.
Yeah.
Then we're getting into like, I think maybe you're not on your side anymore, you know?
Well, and from how you told me about it too, it wasn't like it was a 10-second interaction like you just described. It was more,
it
started there, and then you gracefully said something along the lines of no thank you.
Or thank you for sharing.
Yeah, or whatever. And she's like, no, you're wrong.
Well, no, she didn't say that. That was not it. It was never contentious. And and here's the thing. I understand that everything she shared with me that mm-hmm. night or said to me, I genuinely believe it came from a place that she considers to be a loving place.
Right.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And I told her as much that night. Like, I understand. What I'm hearing you say right now, I understand that this is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Yeah.
And also, can I invite you to celebrate with me that though the labels that I place on my journey are different than the names you've given yours, that we're both on a path that's bringing us peace and joy.
And that invitation was not accepted.
It was not readily accepted. Eventually, maybe we got there, or maybe she just got tired of trying to convince me.
She just bailed.
I don't know. But here's the thing. I do feel grateful for... It is awkward, and sometimes it can feel like I don't have the bandwidth to take on board the work it requires to maintain the posture I want to maintain in an interaction like that.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for it because it is something that I want to cultivate more in my life. Like I need the practice of being able to stand in my own truth about
yeah.
something and not slip into people-pleasing mode, because that's an MO that's easy for me to get into. Like
right.
to just acquiesce to the person, to be the chameleon that person wants me to be in that moment, to
yeah.
reflect back to them exactly what it is that they need. that's a bad thing for me, for my own personal psychological and spiritual health, right? So I need to not do that. So I need to, the idea of figuring out how to stand in my own truth and at the same time, like, and reinforce the boundaries mm-hmm. that I need for my own health, while at the same time maintaining a posture of open-heartedness and grace-giving yeah. to this person. Because there's part of me that wants to get angry. There's part of me that wants to get defensive. There's part of me sure. that wants to get, you know, annoyed. And so, I mean, it's like, I was describing this to somebody the other day. It's like yoga, right? Like that experience of tension, of mm-hmm. grounding yourself and reaching for the sky at the mm-hmm. same time, you know, like that is a tough thing to do, but it's something that I really do want to work on those muscles, you know, yeah, in my right. life. So it was,
it was a good practice. That was nice.
You got
a spiritual workout.
I got an opportunity to do that. Yeah.
Total side note, but like, so say that you had done that chameleon thing where like, I do want this. I would love that. Like, what does that conversion look like? Does she have a pamphlet or something? Like, what's the next step?
I don't know, maybe.
And also I wonder, like, people who do that, like, how many conversions do they get? Like, what's the success rate on that?
I don't know.
Like, if you're a person who moves through the world like that, I mean, is it 1 in 10? Is it 1 in 100? Is it 1 in 1,000? Well, do you ever get a conversion?
See, here's the thing. I come from a background where that was the goal. I was taught, like, as a teenager, yeah. for instance, in high school youth group, that, you know, like, we actually went on outings where we were trying to convince people to believe about, you know, religion and spirituality the way that we believed.
Yeah.
So I have maybe a access to compassion for people who are in that mindset, you mm-hmm. know, that maybe you don't have experience with that, you know, like, but nope. I get it because I've been there, yeah. you know. What I can say about my own personal experience is that what that felt like to me at that point in my life was that I was constantly trying to sell people on things.
Yeah.
Instead of just sharing life with people. Like yeah. there was always a caveat.
Yeah.
And I feel now in my life just I'm grateful for the freedom that I feel to just experience relationships with people
yeah.
without there being a hook or a caveat
yeah.
or a hidden agenda. You yeah. know, my life is so much richer for it. And yeah. I can access compassion for folks who are feeling the need to sell others on their point of view
yeah.
in such a way that keeps them from experiencing the richness of relationships when we can let others be who they need to be.
Also, if you're always you know? Selling, I mean, that's just like, it's a hard place to be. It comes, like, I know that in places in my life when I have felt like I just had to sell people on, like, who I was or what I was doing, it's always because I felt insecure about who I was and what I was
doing. It's a recipe for, like, feeding your own inadequacy.
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Yeah. Like, kind of like, if you were doing it successfully enough, you wouldn't need to talk about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, it was a wonderful night.
It was such
It
was such a wonderful night.
Yeah.
And even that experience, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful yeah. for the great conversations we had. It was really wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auburn.
That's right. We had a show in Auburn last night.
Six of six. At this point, Shannon is healthy. By the way, over the odyssey that we've been describing over the last like hour and whatever, Shannon has progressively gotten first sicker and then better.
Yeah.
And we woke up in Auburn yesterday feeling good. Both of us.
Oh, for sure. Because
here's the thing. When Shannon's sick, I'm not sick, but I'm tired because I'm kind of working for two.
Thank you for that.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. But like we both got a pretty decent night's sleep.
Yep. It was great.
And woke up feeling good.
It was great. And so last night was a really unique night because we were invited into the home of my mother's boyfriend.
Record scratch.
What?
Yes. Mother's boyfriend.
My mom's been dating this wonderful man named Ray for the last year or more now. And they came as guests to a house concert last year. And so that was his first experience with what we do. And so when the time came around this year to start booking house concerts, he was the one, I believe, who suggested, hey, we should do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so just first of all, to be invited into it so intentionally and in such a generous way into mm-hmm. the life of this person who has, you know, been a companion of my mom for the last year, it feels very meaningful to me. Like, that's a really open-armed gesture, and I just am really super grateful for that. Because it, you know, wouldn't have to be that way, but he's that kind of person. He just is, that's just who he is.
I got the chance in, little background for people listening, like part of the, like we have a routine that we do for the house concert, like things, certain things have to happen, certain marks need to get hit. We have tasks. And one of my tasks before every show is I take the host or hosts just to a quiet private place. And I just talk with them about like what their host duties are for the night. It's not complicated, but like I need to make an introductory announcement. I need them to make a post-show announcement and just, you know, a couple other things during the evening that I need them to be on the lookout for to help with if I need it, you know. And in that talk yesterday, mm-hmm. it was like a four-host kind of thing. It was Ray and Glenda, but then also Glenda's friends and our friends, Tim and Tamara, old friends from Stockton, from mm-hmm. your childhood. Mm-hmm. They were sort of co-hosting and helping out, too. So I had, like, it was me and four people, which is a lot more. Usually it's me and one person. But I had a chance to say to Ray, sort of at group level in that small group, that very idea that, like, we understood that it was an outreach from him to us and that it meant a lot to us. And I could tell he really took that on board.
That's so cool.
I think he has this really cool traditional sort of thing about him where gestures mean, like, or gestures have significance and symbolism in that way. And yeah. I, like, it's really true. Like, it wasn't just like, ah, let's do a show. It was like, it was for sure, like, reaching out.
No, it was meaningful. Yeah. And, like, his grandkids were there yeah. who are so sweet.
Oh, they're great.
And they were sitting next to you during sound check. And and Ray told me about having stood, that he was standing kind of like farther away watching
yeah.
the kids watch sound check and watch you do yeah. this stuff. And he told me about him watching that like two or three times. And yeah. each time he teared up. Like, it was aww. Really meaningful, I think, to have like his family and my mom's family, you know, coming together. It was clearly meaningful.
That's rad.
You know, he's not a person who puts into words necessarily the things his heart is feeling. I don't know that he's
one of those love language guys.
Yeah. And yeah. so, but he clearly felt very deeply about that. And it was really very sweet.
Yeah. Really
and there
nifty.
Was a gathering of people from all sorts of corners. I mean, it was yeah. you know, because my mom and he have been dating for just a little over a year, they've got different social groups
sure.
that they bring into the equation
yeah.
that were there
yep.
mingling together
yep.
last night.
One component of that for Ray is he has a really rich neighbor community.
Yeah, yeah.
Which felt really, really relevant to me, just like because that's what we have been so intentionally working to develop where we live.
Yeah,
in
totally.
Our new community, he's very clearly of the same mindset, you know, just like knows everyone who lives on his road.
Totally.
And like... Like, I get the vibe that they're always popping by and borrowing stuff. And can I use some chairs? Can I use your tools? That kind of just neighborly
well,
stuff.
Today, one of the things that happened this morning was that the neighbor's sheep got in his yard. That's a thing you can happen when you live in the country.
Yeah, we were walking out with our suitcases from our guest room. And yeah, there were just some fuzzy sheep like 20 feet away from us.
We're like, oh, how cute.
Munching on the lawn. And Shannon had the thought. She's like... They could. It seems like they could just get to the road from here. And it's because someone left a gate open and they were not in their sheep area.
They were not supposed to be there. Yeah, so
it was so cute.
What a great neighborhood. Yes. And yeah. then also last night, for whatever reason, you know, we've been, you know, telling folks, and this applies to you listening right now, if
yes.
folks, if you want to come to a show, a lot of our hosts are really open to inviting people who they don't know, but who come to them through us to come to the shows. And
I should have said this at the top of the episode before yeah, we talked for an hour and a half.
I know, right? But, you know, this particular show, we told people, hey, go look at the calendar, pick a date that works for you. And for whatever reason,
yeah.
a lot of people picked yesterday's show as being like, I can come to Auburn.
All over the place.
From the Bay Area.
Lodi, Oakland.
Yeah. yeah
all far flung.
All over. And yeah. so we had a bunch of people there that we knew. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just appropriate that, you know, my mom would be the one to welcome all of our friends to come to her concert, right?
Yeah.
Like that's appropriate, it seems.
Yeah, it was
so
cool.
There was a great diversity of people. And
yeah.
you were mentioning the vibe that sort of like...
yeah. So like when we've done shows with your mom a lot in the past
mm-hmm.
and they always had sort of a monolithic feel to them because like it was just her friends and it was all just
yeah.
sort of one sort of person.
Mom-like
you know?
People.
Ah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Mom friends.
Which is great.
But this was just so much looser and more dynamic. Because of like the diversity of types of humans that were there.
Yeah,
it was great.
Really lovely.
Yeah, there were for sure, you know, parent, friend types. But then there were also just like, even within that, like different types. Like Ray's parent, friend types are different than your mom's parent, friend types. And like his neighbors are different than that. And then like
mm-hmm.
we had some arty friends who came from different places.
Yeah.
And just like, it really struck me that like, it seems like when you have that more diverse group, everyone gets a little looser. Somehow.
Interesting.
You know, it just
yeah.
seems like maybe everyone just feels pushed a little bit more to be like, just a little bit more interesting. I don't know, you know? Or not maybe, so closed up like, here's how I am when I'm in this group. Like, I don't know who I am when I'm in this group. This is different.
Or maybe if they feel more free to be themselves because it's not such a monolithic group. You know,
yeah,
like maybe you feel more comfortable being, I don't know. It's an interesting observation, though.
Yeah.
I had a couple of, there were a couple of people who were there last night that really stirred up some, like, cool self-reflection for me.
Yeah.
One was just a cool thing. So my friend Lizzie, who I know from, who's also a Misfit star, by the way.
Yes, she is. What's up, Lizzie?
She's someone I know from elementary school. She moved into our town and started going to school with me, I think, in third grade.
That's so cute.
And then she was, we were friends through middle school, and then she moved away with her family. Mm-hmm. And then we lost touch until just a handful of years ago when the glories of Facebook brought us back in touch. And she's become one of just the dearest people in my life since
she's
then.
Just a rad
and
person.
I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting to reconnect with her has just been amazing. And also, she was there. She brought a friend last night that she just met last week. And she met this friend because she was at a, she's part of this climate activist group locally, a local climate activist group, working for, you know, local policies that impact climate change.
Yeah, like in Placer County.
Which I just adore. And first, just as a side note, let's just say I'm so inspired by the conversations I've had with Lizzie over the last couple of years where we've both expressed just sometimes overwhelm at the amount of trouble coming at us from the world and from our political sphere. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, we see things just kind of like falling apart left and right. And it's hard to take in sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've shared that. But what I've seen her do is decide that for her, the best thing to do is to laser focus on this one issue that she's particularly passionate about and give her energy to that in a way that makes her really effective at that and also keeps her sane and healthy at the same time. So I just love that. But she was at this climate activist meeting and she was wearing our Optimism is an Act of Revolution t-shirt.
Yeah.
And a woman at the meeting came over to her to meet her because of her
t-shirt.
And so that's how they met. And and her friend Kara ended up coming with her to the concert last night.
Yeah, new friend Kara.
And so last night, knowing that they came as a result of you know, that t-shirt interaction and knowing that they came as a result of having met each other at this climate activism group, when I performed the song Letter from the Future last night, it was, I mean, everybody heard it, but it was for the two of them.
That's right.
You know,
that,
like,
was my intention too.
It was all about them. Yeah. And so that was their special performance last night. so that was a neat experience.
Yep.
Also, there was, two young women there, Amy and Amber.
Who came.
So we ran into Amy a couple weeks ago at Fleet Feet when we were getting insoles for your chucks, right?
Yeah, randomly.
She happens to work for Fleet Feet at a different store, but she was making a delivery.
Yeah, she's a manager, so she had to do a managery kind of thing from one store to the store we were at. It wasn't usually there, not supposed to be there.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, Amy. And we see Amy on Facebook a lot, but I haven't seen Amy in person in years. And she and Amber, who came with her last night, were two women who, when I was first starting out doing music in Sacramento, I was transitioning out of, I hadn't yet, the band was still going, but I had, but it was right at the beginning of when I had bought myself my piano, my keyboard.
Yeah.
And I would lug that heavy thing to all the open mics in Sacramento weekly to the Capitol Garage and to Old Ironsides.
Yeah.
And Amy and Amber and their crew of friends would show up most weeks to hear me perform and to be supportive of, I mean, and I would do like a 3-song set because that's what open mics are like, right? But they came and they were so supportive. And I shared that with them last night. I'm like, do you guys know what an impact you made on me by showing the support that you did back then? And they're like, no, we were just there, you know? And I'm like, no. Like, they're forever seared in my memory as people, part of this small group of women who really made me feel at a crucial time in me trying to figure out what I had to offer as an artist in the world. They gave me encouragement by showing up and supporting what I was doing. Like, it was like, if they hadn't been there doing that, I'm not sure what the trajectory would have been for me.
My
discouragement have taken over in ways that it didn't because they were there. You know?
Seriously, people, when you go to see baby artists, like, you are doing maybe more than you know.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. It's so I got to share that with them last night, and to get to share with them the iteration of what we're doing now and have, after having not seen them in years and years was so special.
Yeah.
That was really, really neat. And then I have one more story to share.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The last story that I want to share about
She's
last night.
She's got stories, people.
Are you annoyed with my stories?
No, I love them. Oh, okay. Why would I be annoyed?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Storytelling is like literally what you do with your life.
Okay. One more story. So you mentioned our friends Tim and Tamara, who had helped my mom and Ray with the show last night. Tim and Tamara got up at the end of the concert to give sort of the end of show talk to the audience.
Yeah.
And Tamara shared a story, which I think she's shared with this with me before, but I had let it lapse in my memory, but I'm so happy to have heard it again. So I've known Tamara for a long time. Her son was part of a day camp program that I helped run back in Stockton when I was like a college student, and just after college. But she's been friends with my mom since way back then also. And Tamara recounted a story from when I was in college. I believe it was my senior year of college. Because of how the events line up to make sense. But she said that I was playing piano at my house in Stockton, and that she came over to encourage me, like you're really good at doing this or something. I can't remember exactly what she said, but we were talking about it. And I shared with her in that moment that I really wanted to not pursue medical school.
That's right. Which was a track you were on.
The track that I was on, biology major, med school, but that I really wanted to do music.
Yeah.
And I confided that in her. And I didn't really share that with anybody at that time in my life.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, in that moment, I did share that with her. She felt like a safe person to share that with. Because, I mean, other people in my life at that point, you know, like if I had shared that with my parents, they just helped me get through 4 years of college. And to say like, oh, actually, I'm not going to go be a doctor. I want to be an artist.
Yeah.
You know, that was way too scary.
Remember all that money you spent?
Yeah.
I have this different idea now. Yeah.
You know, but also, you know, just even admitting it to myself was scary because I didn't know what the path was. And it felt really, really unknown and really terrifying. So for whatever reason, in that moment, I shared that with her. And she was able to share that back with me last night.
Yeah.
That she remembers it. And then also just as, you know, she offered some lovely words last night about how, like, she clearly sees that that was meant to be as evidenced in, you know, what we were sharing with the folks last night, which was so awesome.
QED, here you are.
QED.
Quod erat demonstratum. It means that, I don't know the exact Latin translation, but it basically means that the thing is its own proof.
Oh,
right?
There you go.
The thing that you are doing is the proof of
Got it. Of
what she was saying.
Got it. Yeah. Yes. So that was really special to have that shared moment with her last night too. So 6 shows, 6 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of experiences. A lot of cool interactions. It's funny. So from my perch here behind Folsom Lake Volkswagen, I can see a lot of things. I can see the kayakers. I can see the traffic zipping by on Highway 50. Also closer to me, I can see reflected in the hood of the car that I'm sitting 4 feet away from the electronic billboard for I don't know, it's an electronic billboard. I don't know what it's for, but it's advertising all these different things.
Okay.
Two of which are barbecue and beer.
Oh, do you want barbecue?
And man, it really makes me think that a barbecue and do they have non-alcoholic
Probably
beer?
Probably not, but you could have root beer.
Could. It's a form of beer.
Barbecue.
It's a beer made from a root.
Barbecue and root beer sounds good.
It does sound kind of good. Cream soda, maybe.
Are you suggesting we close this podcast down and go get some food?
I mean, it's not for want of talking. We've been on this thing for an hour and like 25 minutes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, listeners.
All you people who have stuck with us through the end of this very long and hopefully very interesting podcast, thank you so much. We appreciate you. This has been a public episode of the Misfit Stars podcast tour edition Independence Day extravaganza.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So, seriously, we hope you all have a just lovely holiday, unless you have to work, in which case we hope you have a lovely
work day.
And if you are a supporting member of the Misfit Stars podcast, thank you. You are the people who make this possible. And if you are a listener but not yet a supporting member of the podcast, hey, what do you think?
You could do that.
You could do that. I mean, here's the deal. Supporting the podcast, really, it's just like a monthly subscription kind of thing, and it costs $5. So if you have $5 and you would like us to have that $5, well, we would be very grateful for it, A. B, we would do good things with it, you know?
You're going to be helping us continue this.
Yeah. And if you think that this giving of ideas, like out into the world, into your ear holes, is valuable and helpful and maybe good, then, you know, consider supporting it. We'd be very grateful for that. Misfitstars.com/join. That's misfitstars.com/join.
Wow.
Thank you. And well, I've got the headset mic, and it just makes me sometimes feel announcery.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's the announcer for Price is Right? Do you remember?
Oh, no.
What was his name?
Oh, man. You'd think you'd know.
You'd think you'd know. I should know this.
Man.
You're not nearly as old as him, though.
No. He's 145 years old. Anyway, people, thank you to those of you who support the podcast. Thank you just in general for listening. You know, having your ears, having your attention means the world to us. We don't take it for granted. We're very grateful for it.
We really are.
We're going to be back next week.
Who knows where from?
Who knows? Nobody knows. I mean, I could know if we looked in the calendar, but I'm not looking.
The Northwest.
Somewhere in the Northwest.
Yeah,
we will have had other cool experiences to talk to you about, and hopefully that'll be cool.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week. Take good care of yourselves.
Yep.
And take good care of each other.
Love you guys.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.